Okay, so we are holding on Sabbath days on the days at the second Mishnah, the one by the bottom. Continuing on the topics of Hitzah on Shabbos, Mishnah says, Hamotzi kikar l'rishus adam. If a person carries out a loaf of bread to rishus adam on Shabbos, chayev, then he's chayev achatas. Now that part is obvious. That's really meant only as an introduction to the next case. Hitzi'uhu shnayim, where if two people took out the loaf of bread, held the loaf of bread together and carried it, then turin, then they would be potter, as we're going to learn in the Gemara. We actually learned all the way at the morning pen. Tzedek Beis on the Beis, the Mishnah near the bottom. So it's the Urshnaim turin. If two people took out the loaf of bread carrying it together, then they're potter. We learned all the way back at the beginning of the Masechta, actually. We had a line about that by Soisa, and we're going to discuss it in more detail in our Gemara. What if it was something where one person couldn't have taken it out by himself? So let's say instead of a loaf of bread, let's say it was a heavy item, as we're going to learn in the Gemara. And then two people took it out. And then they would be chayav. Rav Shimon poitur. Rav Shimon says even in that case he's poitur. As we're going to see in the Gemara, the different opinions on this subject. We're going to have three different opinions. Okay. So it's worth pointing out, by the way, actually, the interesting thing, the Yerushalmi mentions that there was a time, for example, during Gzeiras HaMalchus, during Gzeiras that the Romans made against the Jewish people, probably the ones during the times of Adrianus, whatever, that there were people who were being forced to work on Shabbos, and they would do something like that. They would at least do if they're being told to carry something, and it was something that one person by himself could have carried, they would try as much as possible to have two people together carry it. So that way, at least they're not being chal Shabbos in the worst sense. Although the Yerushalmi continues that unfortunately there were certain people who knew, there were certain people over there who knew what the actual halacha is. It says the Acher, and this is the infamous Acher, knew what's going on. He informed the Romans of that and then forced them to make them each carry them individually. You hear a similar story in the labor camps in Russia and in concentration camps. Yeah. Says in the name of Rav. Others say that Abaya says. The Amilah Masnisa Tana. Others say it was learned in a Braisa. Like Zeh Yochel v'Zeh Yochel. If it was something where either one of them could have done it all by himself, the Malacha, Rav Meir Mechayev, Rav Meir will say that even then, if two people do it, then each of them is still Chayev. As we're going to see soon in the Gemara, that he doesn't gaushin the limud that we're going to learn, that we're going to use soon to explain how we know that a person that shnayim shaso upturin, the mayor does not hold of that limud. Therefore, he holds even two people did it together, even though each of them individually could have done it by himself. They're still both chayev. Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon poter, Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon both say he's poter in that case where neither one of them could have done it. Next case, Zeh Eni Yochel, Zeh Eni Yochel. What about the other way around? If it's too heavy for either one to do it by himself, then Rav Yehuda with a mayor Mechayivim. So the mayor is still going to be, Rav Meir is always going to be Mechayivim. Rav Yehuda in that case is Mechayiv as well, because neither one could have done it by himself. It takes the two of them together to do it. But Rav Shimon Poter, Rav Shimon still says it's Poter. Zeh Yochel, Zeh Eni Yochel. If one of them could have done it and the other one couldn't have done it, and the two of them carry it out together, then Divrei Hakol Chayev, then everybody will agree that he is Chayev. We're going to see soon in the Gemara when we say he is Chayev, which one? One of them, even Rav Shimon. Even Rav Shimon is going to say he's Chayev. One of them is Chayev. We don't know yet which one. That we're going to take up later on Sunday Gimel. Right, that's the only one, the weaker one. Although, it's worth pointing out, by the way, Tosfos later on says that the Einu Yochel doesn't necessarily, Tosfos learns later on, the Einu Yochel does not necessarily have to be that he's physically not strong enough. It could be that he was carrying it in such a way that without somebody else, he wouldn't be able to do it. So those are the three possibilities. Similarly, in a braisa, if a person takes out a loaf of bread to Rishas Rabin, then he's chayev. If two people take it out together, Rameyer Machayev, Rameyer says he's always chayev. They're always both chayev regardless. Rav Yehuda says if one of them couldn't have taken it out by himself and two of them took it out together, then they're chayev, they're laf turim, if not, then they're both potter. Rav Shimon says regardless he's potter, unless, as we said, one could and one couldn't. On a positive note, by the way, that Ebbe points out in several letters that given this, that we're saying that if two people do something where neither one could have done it by himself, then both of them are chayiv in Hilchos Shabbos. We know that Meruba Midah Tova, so Ebbe pointed out in that connection when it comes to the Chalukas HaShas, the annual Chalukas HaShas that we do on Yud Tes Kislev, very few people would be able to learn all of Shas by themselves throughout the year. So like this, it's Ze'eni Yochel. Neither one could do it. So when each person learns their one Masechta during the year, and they all combine together, then it has the effect as if all of them learned all of Shas. Okay. So the Gemara says, Menohanimi. Where do we know this from? These concepts of Shnayim Shas to Upturin and why the mayor is pattering. And by the way, I mean, there's a couple of different ways to understand the case of Ze'eni Yochel. One way of looking at it is that he's chayev because that you have different Rishonim, talk about different possibilities. Is it because in that case, that becomes, according to Rabbi Huda anyway, that becomes the normal way of carrying it, and in that case, they're doing the malacha in the normal way, and therefore they're chayev for it. Is it that they're putting their whole koyach into it, and they're doing whatever they could towards the malacha? So those are a couple of possibilities of why we would say that if neither one could have done it, why both of them should be chayav. Why Rav Shimon Pater's, we're going to get to now. So the Tanna Rabbanan. So we learn in a braita like this. The Pasuk says, that a person is chayav chatas when he does it, meaning an avera that makes him chayav chatas. Meaning, ba'asoiso, when he does it, meaning ha'oises kula v'la'oises mitzvah. So it means only if the person does the entire, if he does only part of it. And by the way, you have the Rishonim talk about, the Ritzvah talks about that this doesn't necessarily apply only to Hilchos Shabbos. It can apply in other areas of Halacha as well. Chos is one example. People shecht a korban outside the Beis Mikdash, so two people are shechting it together. You have a number of different cases that he says that it would apply also. So Kesan, what does this mean? Shnayim shal urchzim mamalgeiz. Suppose that two people together are holding a pitchfork to pick up the sheaves of grain, the loibin, and they're using that to pick up and then gather together the grain, which is the malacha of ma'amer, of gathering together produce, or the karka of the shoftin, or both of them together are holding the karka, which is the pointy stick that we learned before when we were learning about how the weaving process works. You have this pointy stick called a karka, which you use. You bang it on the sheffy threads here and there in order to make the sheffy threads, in order to untangle them, make them all line up straight. That pointy stick is called a karka. So if you have two people are holding it together and the shoftin, and they're banging on the sheffy threads in order to straighten them out, which is part of the malacha of mesach, or bakumus v'kosvin, two people are holding a pen together and writing, b'kona v'yfilu shosarabim, or the two of them together are holding a stick and taking it out to shosarabim, all these cases are ze yochol. Either one could have done the malacha all by himself. Yochol yu chayavin, you would think that they should be chayav. No, come and blame my boss. So he says, "Kula v'loy ha'osim mitzvah." Okay. On the other hand, continues the Braisa, the eagle shall dvela. What if they were holding a cake of pressed figs, which is heavy, and one person can't necessarily carry it by himself? And the two of them then together carried it and took it out into Shosarabim, or b'kora v'hotziul Shosarabim, or they were carrying a heavy beam and took it out to Shosarabim. So then, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im lo yachol echad lahitziyoi vahitziyu shnayim, if one of them by himself could not have taken it out, and the two of them together took it out, then chayavin, v'im laf, turin, if not, then they're potter. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afa pish lo yachol echad lahitziyoi, Rabbi Shimon says, no, even if neither one could have taken it out by himself, vahitziyu shnayim, and the both of them together took it out, turin, Rabbi Shimon says, they're still potter, l'chach nema ba'asoysa. That's exactly why the pasuk says this word ba'asoisa, yeah. Not meaning that he does it, meaning yochid shasta achayev. Only if a yochid does the avera as ichayev, does the iser as ichayev, shnayim shasta uptorin. But if two do it, they're always potter, says Rav Shimon, even if neither one could have done it by himself. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, but Michael misses. So what are they arguing about? We have to deal with now the three-way machlokas. Again, we have a mayor who says that they're always chayev regardless. He doesn't care about yochol or any yochol or whatever. We have Rabbi Yehuda that distinguishes between Yachol and Ein Yachol, and we have Rabbi Shimon that says there's no distinction in either way, and either way they're potter. So what's going on over here? So they're arguing about this. Bahaikra, you have the whole pasuk goes like this. So not the whole pasuk, but the earlier part of the pasuk. But so far we only quoted the word ba'asoysa, when he does it. But you actually have, we have to look at the earlier words of the pasuk as well. The im nefesh achas techta b'shgaga me'am ha'oretz ba'asoysa. If one soul, meaning one person, does an aveda, the shogig, from among the Amorites, from among the people of the land, when it does, meaning in other words, as opposed to the Kohen Gadol or the king, who have special rules as far as their korbanos. Anyway, so the point is like this. Rav Shimon sava tlosa mi'oti k'sivim. Rav Shimon considers like this. You have three mi'otim in the pasuk because you have the word nefesh, you have the word achas, and you have the word ba'asoysa. So therefore, in other words, in effect, what we do is we take the word techta, which is later on in the pasuk, and apply it to each one of those things. So you get nefesh techta, achas techta, or ba'asoysa techta. You have the pasuk is saying if a soul, meaning one person, does the aveda, if one does the aveda, when the person does it, then he committed an aveda. There were three miyukim. So Rav Shimon says like this. We're going to go in order. The first one of them, we're going to say, if we only had one miut, then we have to be mamai, the one which is least likely to be chayav. And that would be where one of them does the akira and the other one does the hanocha. Why? Because in all the other cases where we're talking shnayim shasura, we're talking both of them are involved in the whole malacha from beginning to end. If you have, let's say, in the examples we gave before, let's say two people are carrying a beam, both of them are involved. Both of them did the Akira together. Both of them did the Hanukkah together. As opposed to if one of them does the Akira and one of them does the Hanukkah, so neither one even did the entire Malacha, so then there's the most reason to pass to them. So the first mute would come to exempt them in that case. The second one would be the next case that's most logical to be Mamai, where either one could have done it by himself. Because it's not the normal way of doing it, therefore they're both potter. And the third one, Rav Shimon says, okay, listen, if we only had two miyotin, fine, we wouldn't have been in my third case, but since we have a third miyot and we have to use it for something, then we're going to use it for that case where neither one could have done it by himself, and still both of them are going to be potter, says Rav Shimon. Okay, so that's Rav Shimon. So that explains Rav Shimon that in all those cases the people are potter. Okay. What about Rabbi Yehuda? What does Rabbi Yehuda do with those miyotim? He says, I agree there are three miyotim, but I learned the third one differently. Yes, chad lom oti ze oikim azemaniach. Fine, I agree with you, Rabbi Shimon, that one of them comes to me in my the case where one picked up and the other one put down, because then neither one, for sure, that one is more reason to pater than any other case, because neither one was involved in even doing the entire malacha from beginning to end. In fact, Tosfos says, I mean, you could say by the same logic, you could say, let's say, for example, if Reuven writes one letter and then Shimon comes and writes a second letter, there you don't even need a posit to tell us. There you don't even need a posit to tell us that they're going to be poster. But when it comes to Hotzah, you would think, since maybe the posit cares more about the fact that you took it from one Rishus to another, the posit, maybe the Torah doesn't care so much about that one person did the Akira and one did the Hanukkah. Even in that case, we're saying you're poster.
Why, which one writes one letter, you would think?
Because when each one writes one letter, they didn't even do a complete malacha.
It takes two letters
at the minimum for the malacha of Kaisi, right. We're going to learn about that in the 12th paragraph, Hashem. But over here, you would think maybe the fact that one did the Akira and one did the Hanukkah, who cares? The fact is the item was transferred from one place to another. We're saying that for that, we need a pasuk. So fine, with Ksiva, we don't even need a pasuk. It's obvious that they're both going to be pasuk because neither one did the whole Malacha. Akira and Hanukkah, we need a pasuk for it. But that first miur comes to tell us that case they're pasuk. B'chad l'ma'uti zeyachol zeyachol. Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree. The second one is about zeyachol zeyachol, where either one of them can do it. But What about the third one, which you, Reb Shimon, are using for the case where neither one could have done it? The chad lema'uti yochid sha'asal b'hiras beistin. The third one excludes, it's talking about a different case entirely. We're based in paskin that a certain act is mutter, and a yochid went and followed them. Now, we have like this, in the Sefer Hodias, you have the case over there where the Sanhedrin paskins mistakenly about a certain detail in a din, that it's mutter when really it's oster, and it has to be something where if it was done b'mezid, it would be chayav kares and b'shogeg chatas. So Shabbos is an example of that. So let's say, for example, that the based in paskin, let's say they paskin that one of the malachas is mutter on Shabbos. Now if Roiv of the Tzibur followed them, then for sure, none of the individual, and you have certain other criteria that it mentions over there in Hodias, then for sure nobody brings their individual korban. The Tzibur brings a korban. The Tzibur brings a korban. This is a parhelam. This is the famous parhelam davar shel Tzibur. But what happens if not Roiv of the Tzibur did it, only a mute did it? So let's say you only have one individual heard that Beis Din said, that the Sanhedrin said, that such and such is Moter on Shabbos, and he went and did it. So Rabbi Huda would say the third miut in our pasuk is talking about where he did it on his own, not where he did it because of the Hiras Beis Din. So I don't have it available for the case where neither one could do it. Therefore, if neither one could do it, they would be hired. Because there's no reason to say they should be potter. Reb Shimon is only saying they're potter because of the third mute. Reb Yehuda says, I'm using the third mute for something else. Therefore, there's no reason to potter him. Again, it is the normal way of doing it, to carry a heavy beam, to have two people carry it. It is also each one is putting all of his energy into it. So you can't say that he's like not really doing the malacha. So therefore, he has to be mechayim. But Reb Shimon, now what does Reb Shimon answer to that? He says, Yochid shasal b'hiras beistin chayim. As a matter of fact, Reb Shimon would say, that if a yochid acts in accordance with the hurrah of Beis Din, then he would actually be chayiv. So therefore, so the pasuk is not being memayis that because he is chayiv in that case. Reb Shimon holds in general that yochid shayrah should also be hurrah Beis Din chayiv. So therefore, according to him, the pasuk is not being memayis that because in fact you can't say that he's pasuk. In fact, he's chayiv in that case. So therefore, so that third mute can't be used for that purpose of Rabbi Yehuda's. It has to be used for something else. What is the something else? Where neither one could have done it. Tosfos, though, points out that actually the Gemara in Hodias says over there that Rav Shimon says it's potter. He doesn't say that the Yochid shall also buy Ras based in his chayim. Rav Shimon actually holds that even if the Yochid did it based on based in, he is potter because it's considered onus. Because he was totally of a Beis Din. He thought once the Sanhedrin passed him, this is mutter, it must be mutter. They probably didn't make a mistake. And then he goes and does it. So you can't be mechayev him for that. So what does the Gemara mean over here if it says chayev? So Tosfos has a girsa, and so do many other Rishonim, just the other way around. Reb Shimon would say that in the case of Yochid Shasa by Ras Beis Din, loy tzorich kra, you don't need a potter to tell us that he's potter, because it's obvious that he's potter because he's onus. Just like we know throughout the Torah, when a person does something but onus, they're potter. So here, you don't need a special meal from the potter to tell us that he's potter, because it's obviously a case of onus. And therefore, I have it available. So therefore, I have it available to teach us about the case where neither one could have done it. Is there any yachol? So that explains all of Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. Both of them agree that there are three meals in the potter, but Reb Yehuda uses the third meal for something else, for the case of Yochid Sha'asa by Ras Beistin. Rav Meir, now let's turn to Rav Meir. What does he say? He says, what do you mean there are three miyotim? Miksiv nefesh techta, achas techta, ba'asaita techta. After all, the pasuk does not in fact repeat techta by each of these three things. Fine, I agree there are miyotim in the pasuk, but only tre miyotim ksivi. There are two miyotim, not three, because nefesh achas goes together. It's a style on the pasuk to say nefesh achas. They're not meant to be separate miyotim. So you have two miyotim, nefesh achas and ba'asaita. Therefore, so one comes to teach us that if one of them does the Akira and the other does the Hanocha, that they're both potter, because fine, that's the most obvious case that they should be potter, like we said before. The other one is coming to me with what Rabbi Yehuda said about the Yochid Sha'asabai Ras Beis Din, that he should be potter, not like Rabbi Shimon, according to our Girso, who says that he's Chayev, and not like Rabbi Shimon, according to Tosfos' Girso, who says you don't need a potter for it. Rabbi Meir says, I do need a potter for it. Well then, in that case, we don't have any mute left over. over for the cases involving Yochel or any Yochel. So the mayor is going to say that either one of those cases, he's chayav. So that's that. Okay. Fine. So that explains the three opinions. So now let's turn to Amamai. We said in the Braisa, Zeh Yochel, Zeh Eni Yochel, Divrei HaKol Chayav. We said if we're talking about something that two people are carrying, where one of them could have carried it and the other one could not have carried it, then both of them are chayav. Hey, minay, mi chayav. So now the question is, which of the two of them is chayav? Now, why would we think that what would be the svaris to say that one versus the other should be chayav? Why would there be a svaris to say that the one who can do it is chayav and the one who can't is potter and vice versa? So the Chacham Sofer explains in Rashi's Shita like this. On the one hand, you could take the view, if this is the kind of thing that normally is carried by two people, and only one and one person is doing the main carrying, and the other one is only helping him out a little, so you could argue, therefore, that if the one person carried it by himself, it would be not the normal way of doing the malacha, because the normal way is to have two people carry it, therefore maybe he should be potter. And the other one, who's making it possible to carry it in a normal way, should be chayav. On the other hand, you could say, as the Gemara is going to be discussing, Maseyeya in Beimamish. The fact is he's not really lifting it up so much. He's only helping a little bit, so therefore maybe he should be potter. Therefore maybe the Maseyeya, the second one, the weaker one, should be potter. So that's one way of understanding the Svara of the respective possibilities. Tosfos mentions that Tosfos learned differently than Rashi, and says, again, that the Ein Yochel over here doesn't mean necessarily he doesn't have the physical strength. It means he's holding it in such a way that without somebody else, he wouldn't be able to lift it. So now we can ask the question, maybe he should be potter because he's not carrying it in the normal way. He's only carrying it with his finger or something. He's not putting all of his energy into it. Tosfos also learns that when we say Hey Minayim L'Chayev, the question is, why are we saying, Rashi is learning the question is literally, which one is Chayev? The stronger one or the weaker one? Tosfos says the question is rather, why would we say that the Ein Yochel should be potter? The Yochel, no question about it, is Chayev, because he is capable of carrying it by himself. Why should we assume that the Ein Yochel is potter? Okay. Amar of Chista, Zesh Yochel. So Rav Chista says, as a matter of fact, the one who is able to carry it by himself is the one who is chayav. Because after all, the one that's Ein Yochel, what is he doing? He's the one who could do the malacha all by himself is the one who accomplished the malacha. Therefore, he's the one who should be chayav. So Amalei Rav Amnuna said, Rav Amnuna said, what do you mean? What is he doing? The other guy becomes sayyei abadei. The other guy is helping him out. Amalei, so Rav Chista says, that wouldn't make him chayav. Misayyeya Ein Beimamash. A person who's just helping out where the malacha could have been accomplished without him, and he's only helping it out to make it a little easier, that ain't by mamash, there's no mamashas in it, and therefore he's potter. Omer of Zvid Mishmei Derava, Ahanan Nami Tanena. In fact, we have a Mishnah that expresses the same idea that Maseyeya ain't by mamash. So like this. We know we've talked about many times before about a Zov, where if Tumas Midras, right, where if he goes on, if he sits or lies or whatever on something which carries his weight and which is meant to carry his weight, it's not the kind of thing where you say, I'm Lord Benas Malachenu, get up, we want to use this for our work. So then those things become Tumas Midras, they become an Avatuma. So the Mishnah says in Zovim, Hoya Yoshev Agabi Amita, suppose that a Zov was sitting on a bed, and there were four talasim. It's interesting, in Yiddish we pluralize the word talis as talasim. What we see over here, the actual proper, and you have in modern Hebrew they say talitot, they pluralize it with a vav stuff. We see in the Gemara over here that's meant to be pluralized with the tuf taken out and then a vav stuff put in instead, talios from talis. Anyway, so you have four talisim, four pieces of cloth, one under each of the four legs of the bed, then tmeos, all of those pieces of cloth are tmeos, because the bed cannot stand on three legs, so therefore it's a case of ze eni yochel, ze eni yochel. It's a case where none of the legs of the bed by themselves would have been enough. you need all four of them working together in order to support his weight. So therefore, that's a case of Zeh Eni Yochol, Zeh Eni Yochol. Reb Shimon says it's Tahar because, just like we said in the Mishnah, in the case of the two people carrying the beam, neither one could have carried it by himself, and still Reb Shimon says it's Potter because of the limud from the Pasuk over there. So by the same logic over here, Reb Shimon over here would say that since, even though each leg of the bed by itself is Eini Yochol, nevertheless you can't be metame those pieces of cloth. Because the fact is, it took all four of them together to hold him, and therefore neither one is holding him all by himself. Tosfos says differently. Tosfos says that no, because that when we quoted before from the Miyukim, nefesh techta, achas techta, etc. But that's talking about cases where you're involving a chiyuv chatos. Fine. Maybe it doesn't apply only to Shabbos. Maybe it applies to other dinim in the Torah as well. But why should it apply to Ziva, where there's not an issue at all? You're not talking about an issue chatos. You're just talking about a matter of tumah. So the miut from nefesh achas techta shouldn't apply to that. So rather, Tosfos says the reason why Reb Shimon would say it's poser, Reb Shimon would take the view that most of the zav's weight has to be on each of the individual pieces in order for it to be tameh, and it's not because weight is distributed among the four legs. In fact, you see that explanation in parenthesis in Rashi. However, it's in parenthesis, and Marshall takes it out because he says it, and Hagos Habach also takes it out, that it's actually not from Rashi. This is an explanation of Tosfos that was mistakenly inserted into Rashi. It happens. I mean, you know, the copyists are copying out by hand. You know, somebody wrote in their Gemara, somebody wrote down Pirush Rashi, and then put next to it in the margin a note about what Tosfos says, and somebody else thought that it belongs in the Pnim and put it in. Okay. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. Now, on the other hand, what happens if the Zav is riding on an animal, the Dalab Talias Tachos Ragli Abehema, and you have four cloths in the same way, one under each leg of the animal. Now, Tosfos says we're talking about the animal is standing still. Yeah. On the other hand, you have Rishonim who learn that it could mean even if the animal is walking, because since it's going to put down its foot, it's considered as if it's already put down.
Well, it's
within three tefachim, that's neither here nor there, and I'm not doubtful it's within three tefachim on the ground anyway, but since it's going to put it down, unlike a bed, let's say, the bed doesn't move its legs, so therefore, yeah. Okay, but Tosfos learns that we're talking about the animal standing still, and you have four talias under the feet of the animal, tahoros, then all of those cloths are tahor, mefesh yechola, lamed al gimel, because the animal could stand on three legs. So each one is only mesayeah. So each one, it's not the derech, but an animal could stand for a while on three legs. So therefore, each one of them is only mesayeah.
How do you get four things on one top of the talus?
No, the other way around. No. We're saying, first of all, talus doesn't necessarily mean a talus that has tzitzis on it. It just means a piece of cloth. But you have the animal standing over here on four legs. You have one cloth under one leg, another one under another leg, and so forth.
Okay.
Yeah, the animal standing there, let's say. So you have, let's say, the animal standing. Let's say the animal was standing there the whole time. Let's say a simple case. The animal was standing there the whole time with the cloth under its leg. Now the dog climbs up on top of the animal. Do the cloths become tameh? We're saying no, because at any point the animal could stand on three legs. So each one of the cloths, therefore, is only the seyeya. In effect, what you have is the case of yochol and eini yochol, because three legs together could hold the animal's weight, four cannot. So each one of them individually, and you have Achronim ask the question, the Chazanish, among others, ask the question why Taka should be say that they're all Tahar. You have Roiv is Tomei after all, and therefore, but okay, we're saying that it is Nefeya. Now, Va'amai. Now, why should we say that all of them are Tahar? Ha'kum Sayeya Bahadi Adadi. Isn't each one of them a Sayeya for the other one? So why should they all be Tahar? Obviously, Lav Meshuv Damin and Meseyeh and Bemamish. So there you go. So the Vid says there is a proof that Meseyeh and Bemamish, as we were saying. So therefore, again, returning to the case involving Shabbos, where you have two people carrying a beam. One of them could have carried it by himself. The other one is only Meseyeh. Only is only helping out. Only the one who could have carried it by himself is the one who's going to be chayim. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Midiskauta, but Rabbi Yehuda Midiskauta says that's not necessarily a solid proof. Maybe in fact Maseyeya there is mamoshes in it. The shiny hocha, but it would be different over here. The okra lalagamri, because sometimes the animal picks up its foot completely. So therefore, so at that point, that foot is not even Maseyeya. Right, so when all 4 feet on the ground, you could say one or another of them is Maseyeya because it could have stood on three. But the fact is, sometimes in fact the animal does pick up 1 foot and then it is standing on three, and the four, and one of them is completely up. So the question is, the Gemara says so what? Who cares? The kibin the zimnin okra ha, the zimnin okra ha. Okay, but if the animal sometimes picks up 1 foot and sometimes the other one, then in that case lahevik is zav hamishapech. Then that should be like another case involving a zav, where the zav is rolling around on benches or on beds. Mi loitznan, don't we learn in a Mishnah also in zavim over there? Zav shahoya mutal al heisaf solin. If a zav is lying across 5 benches, oy al hei pundois, or on 5 pundois. So a punda, we said yesterday, is a hollow, according to Rashi, is a hollow money belt. We said, according to the Rambam, it's some kind of undershirt, whatever it is. And Rashi explains that it's not something we would say amod benasim alachtenu, because you have the ends of it stick out underneath him when he sleeps, when he's lying on it. So it is possible to get money in and out of the money belt even while he's lying on it. So therefore, it doesn't interfere. Therefore, it's not a case of amod benasim alachtenu. If it had been, for example, again, as we said, you know, if a zav is lying or sitting on something which you can't get into the contents of it without telling him to get up, then it's not makabel tumas nidras. We had an example in the previous perek, for example, about a box that opens on the top versus on the side, where we said it's not makabel tumas nidras. But over here, the fact that the money belts are long, therefore you can still get the contents in and out while he's lying on them. So therefore, so if you have a zav lying across 5 benches or across 5 pundos, lo'okan, if he's lying along the length of them, then they're tamei, because each one of them, because at some time, so you have the 5 benches, one next to the other, he's lying with the length of his body along one bench, so that bench is carrying most of his weight, so it's tamei, and then another time he's rolling onto another bench, and that bench is holding most of his weight, so each one of them becomes tamei. The rochban tahorin, but if he's lying on them widthwise, then he's lying across the five benches. So his head is on one bench and his shoulders are on the next bench and so forth. Then all of them are tahor because his whole weight and most of his weight is not lying on top of each one of them. But yoshin, what happens if then he's sleeping on them? Sopet mishapech, if there's sopet mishapech alehen, then if there's any kind of sopet that he might have turned around, that he might have turned 90 degrees from being across them to being along them, then they're all going to be tamei, because again, each one of them at one time or another during the night might have carried most of his weight. Rashi brings an explanation from his Rebbeim that say that the reason why they would be tahor if he's la'urkan is because he wasn't necessarily sleeping on the benches, but rather between them. But Rashi says, in that case, then why, if he falls asleep, then why would they all be tamei? Then you'd still have the same topic. Maybe he slept, maybe he felt, maybe he was lying between the benches. So Rashi, that's why Rashi sticks with his own explanation. Tosfos brings a different girsa over here. A different explanation that, again, because we're going to say the reason why they're tahor in the case where he's across all of them is where each one is Maseyeya. So we see, you know, so this is Maseyeya, which we're dealing with in our survey over here. So in other words, so we see that if the zav is turning around and going from one bench onto another, then each one, as he goes onto that bench, becomes tamei. So therefore, so, um, so So in the case, so Rabbi Yehuda ben Iskariot is saying that, look, you can have the animal picks up its foot, and at that point, that foot is not even the seyeya. Therefore, the cloth under that foot can't be tameh. Just the opposite. That should be more reason to make all the cloth tameh, because each one of them, at some time or another, the animal is resting its weight on the 3 feet. When it picks up one, it's resting its weight on all the other 3 feet, and then can't stand on less than 3. That would be a reason to be tameh then. The fact that we don't do that, el alav mishum damin seyeya and bemamish. Obviously, it must be because we actually say Mesaye and Memamish. So it's not a matter of that the animal picks up its foot sometimes. It's a matter of that as long as the animal is standing on all 4 feet, each foot is Mesaye to the other 3. And therefore, all of them are Tahor. And again, according to Tosfos, the Shitta, the point is that we're saying most of the weight of the Zav has to be on that piece in order for it to be tummy, and in this case it's not, because the weight is distributed among all four legs, similar to the case where he's lying across the benches, where no bench is carrying most of his weight. So we do, after all, have a proof that Maseyeya and Bemamish, because it's not a case over there that the cloths are tahor because the animal picks up its foot. It's tahor because when it's on all 4 feet, then all 4 feet are Maseyeya. Amar Papi Mishmei de Rava, so the Papi says in the name of Rava, Afa Nan Nami Tanena. In fact, we have a different Mishnah. That expresses the same point, where we see that Maseyeya in Menamish. Because the Mishnah says over there, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hasus Metame Al Yodov, Rabbi Yossi says that if the Zav, let's take a different case. Let's say instead of having one talus under each one of the 4 legs of the animal, what if you have, let's say, a talus just under one of its front legs or one of its back legs? So Rabbi Yossi says, Hasus Metamei Al Yodov, that if a Zav is riding on a horse and there's a talus under one of the front legs of the horse, then it's going to be Tamei, but not if it's under one of the back legs. Hachamur Al Raglav, and the donkey the other way around, if the cloth is under its back legs, then it'll be tummy, but if it's under the front legs, it'll be tahor. Because a horse puts most of its weight on its front legs, and a donkey puts most of its weight on its back legs. So again, the question now, it's interesting, by the way, if you look in the actual Mishnah in Zavim, the gear says the other way around, that the horse mainly rests its weight on its back leg, and the donkey mainly on its front leg. Exactly the opposite of the way we have it in the Gemara over here. No, but we're talking about when it's standing still. In fact, Tosfos says, now if you had a cloth under 2 legs of the animal, then Rabbi Yossi is going to agree. It's going to be tummy regardless. The cloth is going to be tummy regardless because the animal can't stand on 2 legs. So when we say over here mishenes hasus al yadav v'chamur al raglav, that a horse mainly puts its weight on its front leg and a donkey mainly puts its weight on its back leg, doesn't mean that the fact of the matter is it can't stand on only 2 back legs or only 2 front legs, at least not for more than a couple of seconds. So therefore, if you have one cloth that's stretched out under 2 of its legs, for sure that cloth is going to be tummy. Even Rabbi Yossi is going to agree with that. We're talking about over here where it's under one of the front legs or one of the back legs. Now again, you have to ask, even let's say, fine, a horse mainly rests on its front legs, but doesn't it also support itself partly on its back legs? So why, if there's a cloth under the back legs, would Rabbi Yossi say to her, Lav Mishum Damin Mesayeya and Mimamish? Evidently, because Mesayeya is not considered significant, which is another proof. Okay. Rav Ashi says we actually have another proof to this idea that Mesayeya and Mimamish from a different context. We learn in a Mishnah in Zvachim, Rabbi Yezer Omer, Raglai Achas. Now we know that the Kohen, when he's doing the Avodah in the Beis Mikdash, has to be standing on the floor, and there can't be any chatzitza between his foot and the floor. If one of his feet is on a keli and the other one is on the floor, or one of the kohen's feet is on a stone and one is on the floor, a stone pashtus that's not attached to the floor. Royan, we have to see like this. Kol she'ilu yinotel akli v'tinotel aved. If we were to remove the kli or remove the stone, Is he balanced in such a way that he would have been able to continue standing on one foot, meaning that he was only putting a little bit of his weight on the foot that was on the keli? Then avodas tshuva. Then his avodas kosher. Then what? Avodas tshuva. If not, then his avodas kosher, because then it's considered he wasn't standing on the floor. Now, again, you would have to ask v'amai hokam sayeya b'hadi adodi. Now you would still have to ask, even in the case where you could remove the keli and he's still going to be able to stand. Why should his avodah be kosher? Wouldn't it be still that the second foot is supporting, is helping to support him, helping to keep him up? Again, lav mishum damin m'seyeh in me'mamish. Evidently, it must be because we say m'seyeh in me'mamish. So there's another proof that m'seyeh doesn't mean anything, which means, again, returning to our case in Shabbos over here, it means two people are carrying the beam. One could have carried it by himself. The other one is only m'seyeh is helping them out. Indeed, we're going to say that m'seyeh is kosher. Ravina says we have another proof for this idea, also from the halachas of avoda in the Beis Mikdash. A braisa says kibul b'yamin, if the kohen did the kabbalah of the blood with his right hand, so he's holding the basin in his right hand to collect the blood. In general, avoda has to be done with the right hand. If a kohen does the avoda with his left hand, then it's kosher. So if he's holding the basin in his right hand, and he's helping to hold it up a little bit with his left hand, then the avoda is kosher and the kabbalah is kosher. Again, what do you mean? His left hand is involved in the avoda. Why should it be kosher? Again, it must be because mesiyeh and meimamish shmamina. So that proves it. Mesiyeh and meimamish, period. So therefore, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, and when it comes to all these other cases, we say that the fact that there was Messiah involved doesn't matter. And either way, the one who's Messiah is not chayev. The cloth that was Messiah that's under the leg is not tome, etc.
Now, that according to all the
so now, according to the mayor, it wouldn't matter. According to the mayor, anybody who's involved in doing the malacha is chayev. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what we have said is Zay Yochel, is there any Yochel, Dibre Hak or Chayim? We said everybody would agree he's Chayim, even Rav Shimon. Because even Rav Shimon would agree, Meseyeah in Meimamish, and even we're saying even Rav Shimon would agree, Meseyeah in Meimamish, and therefore, so therefore the one who was Yochel, the one who was able to do it by himself, is going to be Chayim. The one who couldn't do it by himself, who was only Meseyeah, is going to be popular because his contribution is not enough to be Mechayim.
But seemingly this is in a case where his left hand is helping out his right hand, but his right hand on its own could have done the malacha.
That's what we mean.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Kabbalah, for example, right? If he couldn't have held the basin with his right hand only, yeah, then it would be Zayin Yochel, Zayin Yochel, and right. According to the Yehuda, the pasuk according to the Yehuda, it would be possible. Yeah. Although again, maybe not, because you actually have. We were touching on before that the question of this concept of Ze'en Yochel, Ze'en Yochel, does it apply everywhere? Now, you have Rishonim say, fine, the Ritva says it can't only apply to Hilchos Shabbos, because after all, the positive that we learned it from, Nefesh Achas Techt of Asoisa, is not talking about Shabbos, it's talking about Isurim that Lavim that require a Chakas in general. So therefore, it should apply to other cases as well, an example being Shchut Echlut. And he said, okay, it can apply to a Zav for a different reason, because a Zav, you need to have, again, that most of his weight is carried on the individual cloth or on the individual leg or what have you, and it's not. But would this concept necessarily apply to other cases, like over here? There's no lav to do the malacha. There's no lav when it comes to the avoda to do it with the left hand. It's just if the kohen does it, the avoda is possible. So would we necessarily apply the same concept and say ze'en yochel that it should be possible? Maybe not. But for sure, we're just talking about over here the case where his right hand all by itself could have held the basin and could have done the kabbalah, and instead he was using his left hand to help it. Then for sure we're saying ze'en me'mamish. Okay. Amar. So now let's get back to we said in the braita ze'yochel. We said that if either one could have done it by himself, Rav Meir Machayev, we said Rav Meir still said he's Chayev because, as we said, of the three Niyotim, first of all, Rav Meir says it's not three, it's only two. And second of all, he uses one of them for a different purpose. for the case of Yochid Sha'asa Bahar Ras Basin. So he holds that any case where two people drew a malacha together, they're chayev. So he boilu. So now we have a question. But in shiur lozeh v'shiur lozeh, I do a shiur echad l'kulam. Do you need a separate shiur for each one in order to be chayev? So let's say, for example, let's say we're talking about they're carrying out food. Now, we learned before that the malachas involving food on Shabbat, generally speaking, the shear is a kigurgen, the size of a dried thing. So let's say, for example, you have two people are carrying out food on Shabbat. Are they chayev even if that total amount of food is only a gergeres, or are they chayev only if it's two gergeres enough for one, for each one of them to be carrying a gergeres? So do we need a full shear for each one individually? Tosa says in principle the question could have been on in principle the question could have been on Rabbi Yehuda as well, and after all, on the face of it, it would be preferable to ask the coins of Rabbi Yehuda, because we have the Stam Mishnah, or the Tana of our Mishnah was Rabbi Yehuda. So why are we asking specifically according to the Meir? So Tosa says, okay, because the fact of the matter is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you're only chayv, neither one could have done it by himself. Come on, you're not going to have their carrying out one gregeris and the two of them, and neither one could have done it by himself. So more realistically, the question is according to the mayor, who says that even if zeh yachol or zeh yachol, they're both chayv. But in principle, the question could have been asked according to Rabbi Yehuda. Let's say you have something where you need a very large shear in order to be chayv, and you have, let's say, these people are very, very weak, and they and neither of them can physically carry it on them. So that's the question. Do you need a separate shiur for each one or not? So Rav Chista v'Rav Hamnuna, chad am a shiur lezeh v'chiur lezeh, v'chad am a shiur echad v'kolon. So Rav Chista and Rav Hamnuna argue about that. One says, even in that case, you need a separate shiur for each one. And the other one says, one shiur combines for all of them. Now, again, if we say the question is only according to the mayor, that's not necessarily negei al halacha, because the halacha is not like a mayor. The halacha is like a Yehuda. But you can see over here, by the shiur echad v'kolon, you have the note over here referring to the Rambam and Hilchot Shabbos, because, in fact, the question, as Tosfos said, the question could be asked according to the Yehuda as well. Practically speaking, it may not come up that often, because if you have, they're only carrying one shiur, the pasuk is either one is yochel by himself. But conceivably, suppose you had a case where neither one is, nevertheless, they'd both be chayev. Because again, he said if neither one could do it by himself, Rabbi Yehuda says both of them are chayev, and even though it's only one shiur between two of them, that doesn't matter. So the Papa says, in fact, we can prove that one shear is good enough for the whole thing from that Mishnah and Zavim that we quoted before. We said that if a Zav was sitting on a bed, the Arba Talias Tachas Arba Ragle Amita, and there are four Talasim, one under each leg of the bed, Tmeyas, we said all of them are Tamim, because the bed can't stand on three legs. Now, before we mentioned that part of the Mishnah, we didn't really focus on it because we were more focused on the next part of the Mishnah that described the contrast with that with an animal, because an animal can stand on three legs and a bed can't. A bed tries to stand on three legs. It's going to tilt this way and that. But now we're going to focus on that part. Vamai liboy shiur zivul azev shiur zivul azev. Still, who cares if a bed can't stand on three legs? The fact of the matter is, you would have to have most of the zav's weight is on each of the legs in order for the cloth under that leg to be covering. So you would have to have, if you have four zav's in the bed, then fine. You could say each zav's weight is being carried by one leg. But if you have, maybe if you have three zav's as well, because, okay, then you could have three quarters of the zav is held by each leg. But if you have two zav's or one, then how are all the cloths coming? So the fact that we don't say that means that we consider that the zav's weight is being borne completely by each one of the legs individually. So there you go. You only need shiur echad v'kolon. So the same way over here with Hilchos Shabbos, you would only need that there's one gregeris that the two of them are carrying together, and they're still chayv. You wouldn't say each one needs their own gregeris, just like you don't say there that each leg needs its own zav. So that proves lav mishum namrin and shiur echad v'kolon. So that would be a proof for the opinion that says that you need only one shiur that covers all of them. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, I have another proof for this from later on in our Masechta. We learn in the 14th perek of our Masechta, we have a case, or 13th perek actually, if a deer goes into a house on Shabbos, the nal echa b'fonav, and one person closes and locks the door in front of it, then he's chayev, because now he did the malacha of tzeda, he captured the animal inside. Nal u'shnayim turiv, if two people together close the door, then they're potter, p'turim, then they're potter, like Rabbi Yehuda, who's the Tana of our Mishnah as well, who says that ze yachol, they would both be potter, and in this case it is because it's a regular door. So the Mishnah continues over there. If it was a heavy door where neither one could have closed it by itself, then it'd be chayev, and Rabbi Shimon would say it's potter, like the machlokes that we had over here. Anyway, the point is, now why, even in the case where the one person closes the door, in the case where the two people close the door, we actually have that part. Lo yachol echad lino, if one person could not have locked the door by himself, the nal or shnayim, and so the two of them did it together, it was a heavy door, let's say, chayavim, then they're chayav. V'amai, now why would they be chayav? Shouldn't you require each one of them did their own shear? If we said that you need a separate shear for each one, then each one of them would have had to be capturing their own deer. So in fact, Tosfos says that, yeah, the opinion that says that you need a shear individually for each one, Taka would learn the Mishnah that way, that when the Mishnah says, it doesn't mean one deer, it means two deer ran into the house. And then when they close the door, each one, in effect, is doing seda of one deer when the two of them together close the door. But the other opinion would say, never mind that. The Mishnah says tzvi, the Mishnah says a deer, and we still see both of them achayev, even though in effect you could say each one of them captured only half a deer, and you're still being achayev then. So you see that each one, you don't care about a half a deer. Each one captured one whole deer. It happens to be the same deer, but that doesn't matter. That's what we mean, shiur echa b'kulam.
Each one got their own deer?
No, we're saying that not. We're saying, according to the opinion that says each one needs a shear of their own, we would have to say that that's what the Mishnah means, that it means that each one has their own deer. But we're saying, we're trying to prove over here that shear echad l'kulam, we're trying to prove that it's enough that, for example, the two of them carried one gregetus together, the same way it's enough over here that the two of them together captured one deer. We don't say that it's considered each one captured only half a deer, and then that wouldn't be enough to be mechayiv. No, each one did the full malacha by himself. Each one did the full malacha, the two of them together. Each one is ze'eni yachol, ze'eni yachol. Neither one could have done it by himself because it was a heavy door. So we're saying each one of them is individually chayiv, even though it's only one deer that they caught between the two of them. Ravina says, I have another source for this idea. That if two people do something together, even though either one could have done it individually, both of them are chayim. We learn in Bava Kama, hashutfin shegonvu v'talchu chayavim. If partners steal an animal and they both shecht it together, which one possibility of shechting it together could be they both hold the knife. The other one could be that one of them tells the other one to shecht, because normally we have a concept called ein shliach l'dvar aveira. Usually you have, if Reuben tells Shimon to go and do an aveira, and Shimon does it, then Shimon is chayev, Reuben is not. Tvicha u'mechira is one of the exceptions to that rule. We know the Torah tells us that if a person steals an ox or a sheep, or tvicha u'mechira, he shechts it or he sells it, then he has to pay four times as much if it was a sheep and five times as much if it was an ox. And there, the Gemara explains in Bava Kama that applies even if Reuben tells Shimon to do the tvicha, that both of them are going to be chayim. We don't say in shlech and varaveira in that case. So that's another case of two shuktim doing the shchita together, or it could just be that the two of them are holding a knife, whatever it is, they're chayavim. V'amai, now again, why would we say they're chayav each one to pay the shlomi abav hamisha? Liboy shiur tvicha lazeh v'shiur tvicha lazeh. Again, why wouldn't we say that each one needs to do their own shechting in order to be chayav? Lav mishum damin and shiur echad l'kulam. Obviously, it means that we hold there's one shiur counts for the both of them. It combines for the both of them. The Amr of Ashi, Afana Nami Tanena, Rav Ashi says, now when we get back, let's get back to Hilchos Shabbos, and we can prove another point, we can prove another thing of this from Hilchos Shabbos itself. Because we learn in the Braita, Shnayim Sheisiu Konesho Gardi, if two people together carry out a weaver's stick, now a weaver's stick is like this. You have, we learned before about the weaving process. You're putting the aorta back and forth through the chassis. You have a kind of stick that has like comb-like things on the end, comb-like projections on the end of it. You use it every so often. You use it to push the aorta threads more strongly into the ones that you just newly wove, to push them more strongly and make them integrate with the rest of the cloth. And then make sure that the aorta is not stretched too tight, that it's not overstretched, because then also it won't combine with the rest of the woven cloth. They use this kone for that purpose. So if two people carry that out on Shabbos, chayovin, then they're chayev. Again, v'amai. Now, why should they be chayev? Liboy shiur ha'tzol is ever shiur ha'tzol is that. Shouldn't we require that each one has their own shiur ha'tzol? Lav mishum damin and shiur echad l'kolam. Obviously, that must be another proof that shiur echad l'kolam. That the fact that they both together carried it, it doesn't matter. It's one konish or gaudi. If one person had carried it by himself, he'd be chayev. Therefore, even the two people carried it. If, again, it was a case where, according to the mayor, it doesn't matter whether they could have carried it individually or not. According to the Yehuda, you have to say it's a case where neither one could have carried it individually. And nevertheless, we're saying they're chayev, even though it's only one konish or gaudi. Omelet of Achabre, the Rovelet of Ashi. However, Rav Achabre, the Rovelet, says to Rav Ashi, that's not a proof. Maybe you know why they're chayev, not because it's large enough to be used as a weaver's stick. Because after all, it's a stick, it's made out of wood, it could be used as firewood, and we learned previously that as long as you have firewood large enough to be able to cook an egg with it, then that's considered enough that if a person carries it on Shabbos, then he's chayev. So maybe you have it here. The stick is large enough that you could break it up and use it firewood, and there'd be enough to cook two eggs with it, and therefore that's why each one of them is chayev, because in fact you do have an individual shiur from each one. The answer is, im kein l'shmein and konen d'alma. If that's all it was, then the braisa did not have to mention a case involving a weaver's stick. It could have just said a regular stick. Maishna de Gaudi, why specifically would it mention a weaver's stick? In order to show us that even though the weaver's stick is a larger thing, the person is not chayev only for the fact that it could be used for firewood. Because a weaver's stick is not used for firewood, it's meant for weaving, and therefore it needs to be large enough to be used for that purpose, to put the aorta thread in its place. And nevertheless, we're still saying they're both chayev, even though it's only one stick. So the Gemara says, so what? The Dilma de Ispe Kedei Lerag Machba Lazer or Kedei Lerag Machba Lazer. So what? You could have, the case could be that the stick is long enough that you could use it for two cloths that are being woven at the same time. If you have two looms set up next to each other, each one where you're weaving a small cloth, then you could use one kone to put the eight of threads in place on both of them at the same time. Now, obviously, it's not a normal way to do it, but nevertheless, you could still say that might be reason enough to be mechayev them. And that would be, Tosfa says, that would be the point. Why then, in that case, would we have to focus on a weaver's stick to say, even though it's one thing with regular firewood, it's normal enough to take one long stick and break it up into small ones and use it for firewood. It's much less common to take one weaver's stick and use it to adjust two looms at the same time. And nevertheless, you could, and maybe that's reason enough to be mechayev, but not necessarily if it was a smaller one where it can only be used for one loom at a time. So, okay, you can't prove anything from that case involving the stick. You still have all the other cases where we can show from that you need only one shear for the both of them, the case of the deer and the case of the talis, the case of the talisim under the legs of the bed, etc. But from this particular case, in this particular case involving the weaver's stick, there's no solid proof, because maybe the reason they're chayev is because it could be used on two looms at the same time. Okay. So the Gemara finishes off. Tani Tana Kameda Rav Nachman. A Tana taught a braise in front of Rav Nachman in this connection about two people carrying a weaver's stick. Shnayim Sheyitzil Konish or Gaudi Pturin. If two people together carry out a weaver's stick, they will be potter. Because according to the Yehuda, each one was Yochol. Either one could have carried it by himself. And he said, Zeh Yochol, Zeh Yochol. Rav Yehuda says he's potter. Rav Shimon Mechayev, and Rav Shimon says he's chayev. Klapi Laya. What do you mean? The braisa is backwards. Reb Shimon is the one who says more likely that they're potter. So why all of a sudden he's saying he's chayev? Ela Ema, no, you have to flip around the braisa. Chayev and Reb Shimon potter. They would be chayev, namely according to the mayor always, and according to the Behoda, if it was heavy enough that neither one could have picked it up by himself. Reb Shimon says it's potter regardless, because we said before, Reb Shimon always says that Shnayim Shasta Upturin. Okay. Shkoyach.
Shkoyach.